So, hello, and welcome to another episode of The Hello Show. We must begin with an apology. We thought there was going to be a special guest on the show this week, and at the last minute he had to cancel, he couldn't make it. So hopefully we'll be able to get him on the next show. And this week we're just going to do a short show, because we hadn't really planned this at all. We'd planned an episode with our guest, so kind of a last-minute thing here.
Yes, our listeners are stuck with just you and I.
Yes, well, at least for now. Hopefully we'll be able to get the next episode out within a week, I'm hoping, if he's available.
Right. So, David, what's new? What's exciting?
Well, I think since this is just a cut-down version of the show, I thought we'd just talk about what I hope will become our regular section on the latest happenings around the internet.
There's a lot going on.
There is. It seems like there's about three times as much as happened in this last week than happened in the week before.
Wow. Now, how do you measure that? Very carefully, I hope.
So, the first thing... The first thing that's really happened is, the most important thing that's really happened, in my opinion, is Merlin Mann on The Conversation. What do you think?
Now, we should give the listeners some idea of what we're talking about. We're talking about, and it was, if you haven't checked out The Conversation by Dan Benjamin, it is a great podcast. And David, you even got a mention on it with this newest episode.
I wouldn't call it a mention. I'd call it maybe a byline. I mean, it wasn't really that big. Yeah, so I was.
They mentioned you in the chat room.
Yeah, I was in the chat room. I listen live. Do you listen live? Right. Do you?
No, I listen to the podcast version after it's all recorded.
Right. Okay. Well, I listen live because comes on about 5 o'clock, which is about a perfect time for me here.
Right. But they were talking about comment section on blogs.
Yes.
And something came up last week where somebody had made an exact duplicate of daringfireball.net by John Gruber.
Yep.
And they added a comment section, which John famously doesn't have on his own blog. He doesn't feel like he needs to have comments on there. So somebody made an exact copy of daringfireball.net, but they added comments to each post, and it was pretty controversial.
Well, I think John didn't really mind, to be honest. I think that his main issue was I'm not sure if it actually does affect your Google PageRank anymore, but duplicate content, if you've got the same content on two sites, then that hurts your ranking on Google, I'm told.
Well, I saw his Twitter post, tweet, whatever you want to call it. He says, when someone steals from me for the purpose of gaining attention, I'm going to do my best not to give them attention. And so it was kind of like, just see where it goes and not pay it much mind. But he had to be annoyed. I mean, that's that kind of thing where someone steals all of your content is pretty annoying.
Well, it wasn't as if they were stealing it and claiming that it wasn't John's, though. I mean,
But I'm just thinking, and they talked about this on the other podcast, is that, you know, if somebody took all the Newton poetry stuff and put it up on a website and added something else to it, and which people have done. I mean, I've had scrapers scrape my content before. And I was pretty annoyed. I wish there was more I could do to fight that kind of thing.
Well, if they acknowledge me, I wouldn't be too annoyed about it. Because I don't really seriously think it does hurt your Google PageRank anymore. I mean, I was doing some quote-unquote white hat SEO on HelloShow.net earlier this week. Just a quick side note. Do you know that we are actually number two for searching for The Hello Show in Google? and the one above us is actually newtonpoetry.com/2010/blah blah 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 blah, introducing The Hello Show.
Yes.
So your post introducing is actually higher than the actual podcast right now.
Well, then my evil, maniacal plan worked.
Yeah, draw attention away from me. Toward yourself.
Well, right. Well, you know, if somebody attributed it to my stuff, I don't know. I would still just find it annoying. It's like, you've got nothing better to do than to take my content and put it somewhere else, even though you've put my name on it.
Right. And I think partly in response to that, Stephen Frank from Panic, who I think we should have him on the show sometime, really. But Stephen Frank actually created, what would you call it, a plugin?
Yes.
A modification for web browsers.
For Safari.
Well, any browser that supports custom CSS.
Right.
But
well, he said that there's a separate one for Firefox and there's a separate one for Chrome. So he focused on the Safari version.
All right. Well.
Yep.
So he's created this thing called shutup.css, which is if you go into your Safari preferences, and you go to advanced, I think it's, yeah, and then you can choose a style sheet which applies to all web pages. And what this does is the way it works is very simple. It looks for the CSS classes that represent comment blocks on websites, and it just sets them to display none. Exclamation mark important. So
effectively making them disappear.
Yeah, and it works on Newton poetry. So
Newton poetry.
I think it only works on Newton poetry because of my little suggestion to him, which is that he add support for WordPress Kubrick theme comment blocks. Which yours is a kind of a derivative of the Kubrick theme, isn't it? A very distant descendant, I would call it.
There you go. There you go. Yeah. So you use the CSS cascading style sheets to effectively make comments on blogs disappear.
Yeah.
Are you a big reader of comments, David?
Sometimes. Like, on your site, they're good, and I wish I could turn them off for your site, because the comments on your site are from people who really, you know, they're into the Newton, they're into the Mac, they really know what they're talking about, and you...
I'm pretty lucky.
Yeah, you are. And, but on some sites, and I could name them, but some, well, YouTube.
Engadget. Gizmodo.
Well, I'm not a big Engadget or Gizmodo reader, so.
Okay. The Consumerist was one I read pretty often, and eventually I just had to stop reading the comments. Can I read you a few from Daring Fireball with comments?
Yeah, have you still got them?
Yep, I've got a couple here, because daringfireballwithcomments.net is still up right now, and it's still got kind of the Daring Fireball look, but what they did was... they explain that they're taking the site down, that it was fun while it lasted, but they're going to respect John Gruber's wishes and kind of just take the whole thing down. So you can still visit the site, but it's not what it was.
Yeah.
But underneath that post, there are a bunch of comments from people who are commenting about the site being taken down. And I think this is just a perfect example of why you want to turn comments off. One is from a user named A... period Hitler, and he makes a very derogative comment about the Jewish nation. So that's one. And then there's another really fun one from Anonymous, who must be pretty brave. He says, I hate Gruber. He's a jerk. I bet he has to pay someone to with his wife because he can't man up and do it himself. So I think there are some good comments within the line, but these comments are way out of line, and I think it's almost a perfect illustration of why you would want to turn comments off. Sometimes they're helpful. More often than not, you get a bunch of jerks.
You see, I don't think that I think that some of those comments are genuinely trying to be... they're trying to be disruptive. But right. I think some of them are definitely, you know, they're kind of a little bit of a joke, in a way.
Right. But, I mean, a joke is one thing, but to have something from Adolf Hitler, you know, commenting on a... And that's just one example, but I'm just saying it almost proves the point to me. So, you know, by turning comments on, you get the good with the bad. Unless you do actually what I do, and is that if you get something abusive or racist or, you know, anything like that, I delete it. I don't feel bad about it. I don't have a second thought about it. I delete the stupid comments.
Yeah.
And luckily I haven't had very many lately.
Yeah. I mean, Merlin's comment was that if you have comments on your site, and I think I agree with this, if you have comments on your site, then you should prove in some way that you care so much about each one of them that you should do something. Like Merlin said that you should have to get on YouTube and read them out. But I think you respond to most of your comments personally, don't you?
Yes, because I appreciate them. I mean, like you said, more often than not, they're helpful. They correct something that I've messed up on, or they provide context or more information about something I've done. You know, they give me a website link where I can find out more about something I posted on.
Mm.
And that's the way comments should work.
Right.
So you've chosen not to have comments on your blog.
Yeah, well, that's... I had a lot of trouble convincing WordPress that I didn't want to have comments. I hate WordPress. It's horrible, but the main reason I use it is because I like the skinning system, which is just based off PHP, which I know already.
Mm-hmm.
So I've got a lot of custom stuff, like the links. Those are just... those are horrible hacks, but I wouldn't have been able to do those horrible hacks without my knowledge of the PHP programming language.
Right. But why did you choose not to have comments?
Well, partly out of laziness, because I didn't want to code up the form and all the design for the comments.
Hmm.
But also because the design idea for my website is that if you come across my website because somebody you follow on Twitter linked to it, or, I don't know, you were maybe just clicked, used Stumble Upon. Have you ever used Stumble Upon?
Mm-hmm. I don't personally, but I know of it.
I did use it for a time, but that was before it started becoming just too big. But anyway, I want it to be like somebody with completely no cultural knowledge picking a random book off a shelf in a library. And it's just like you find it and you have no idea if it's the greatest novel ever written or if it's just this one thing that some guy wrote once and everybody hates it.
Right.
Do you understand why now?
Yeah. So, yeah, and we've talked about this before, but I thought it'd be good for you to explain it a little bit. I totally respect that, because you want your work to stand on its own, you know, without, like you said, it's a piece of reading that you would pick up on the net and just read it, and that's all there is to it. Where mine is more like a community, because, like, yeah. I have such great respect for the Newton community and how they're still active and involved. That I wanted a place for them to yell at me or, you know, correct me or point me in a good direction, because by nature they're very helpful.
The feeling of the Newton community is just one of, hey, Apple hates us, let's band together.
Right, yeah, it's circling the wagons. It's great.
Yeah.
And my site has reflected that. I mean, I haven't had any problems with negative commenters or anything like that. I had fake Steve Ballmer give me some ribbing on there from a while ago, but he hasn't been around lately. So you're using Shut Up CSS then?
Yes, I've got it turned on. I just wish I could turn it off just for Newton poetry. Because your crowd, your audience are very good people.
Yeah. Yeah, I've been extremely lucky. It's been nice. I haven't installed it because just for the sake of masochism, I like to read some of the comments. And usually if you get them in the first, like, first scroll down, you're good. But the farther you go down, the more, you know, into the back alley of commenting you go. So it's a science. Commenting is a science. You take it all, you leave it all out, or you edit a little bit, which is what I do. So it's been fun to watch because it's a philosophical argument about the internet. You know, what use are comments? What, do they do any good? Are they more harmful than good? It's been really, really neat to watch.
Yeah, one of the things I like about Tumblr is that it doesn't have comments, and it's kind of, but at the same time, it's kind of like, you want a comment system, go make your own blog.
Right.
It's that easy.
Yeah.
And it's not as if it's hard to set up a, what is it called, a Tumblog? Tumblog?
Yes.
Right.
It's good enough.
I mean, I had one once. I got rid of it when I got my WordPress thing, but...
Right. Well, my personal site is run through Tumblr, and I like it just because of how simple it is and how easy it is to post stuff to it. I've got the little JavaScript link up in my Safari toolbar where I just hit that and I can shoot something over to Tumblr, and it's been great. It's been so easy.
Right. So like a bookmarklet.
Yeah, it is. It's stuff I want to remember later, or pictures. Yeah. I mean, you can pick which picture you want to post to it.
Yeah, I mean, Tumblr's great for the kind of artistic personal blog where you just, I mean, a lot of people use it to post, like, well, you use it to post, like, photos and artworks and things that you like.
Mm-hmm. But I also do a fair amount of writing on it, you know? Like, when I spilled the coffee on my keyboard, that was on Tumblr first.
Right.
It's more of like, this happened to me personally, and I want to share it, so... And the writing with Tumblr is just fine. I mean, it's simple, it's easy to do, and you can do all the stuff pretty much that you can with a normal blogging CMS system.
Do you use Markdown?
No, I don't.
I use it on my blog. It's a good system. I wish it was updated. I wish the reference implementation, i.e. Gruber's implementation, was updated more regularly.
Yeah.
Because the last update was like in 2004, unless you go rooting through his server, and then you can find a beta from 2008, which was really any better.
But people have added on to his system, and they've modified it a little bit, so...
Yeah, like, I use the PHP version, and I use a thing called PHP Markdown Extra, which the main advantage for me is it gives you footnotes.
Oh, yeah, okay. Gruber style.
Yeah, well, I would change it if I could. It's the default, and I can't change it. What I would like is for it to be, I'd like it to put them as margin notes in the right-hand column. Like my navigation is in the left-hand.
Right.
The margin notes would be in the right-hand.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
Yeah.
All right, well, commenting, you know. I have them, David doesn't. Argue amongst yourselves.
So, what else has happened this week? Oh, there was a new You Look Nice Today as well. Just came out today.
Yeah, I saw your toot on it. I'm going to have to listen to it.
Yeah. It's,
boy, it's there for a while, bubbly. they were recording new ones pretty often, and now you go a month or two in between recordings. But Merlin's been writing a book, so we'll have to give him that.
Yeah. I mean, it's a book about Inbox Zero, is his email philosophy, isn't it?
Right. Yeah, I'm looking forward to that coming out.
Yeah. I mean, I used to maintain Inbox Zero. I don't anymore. But what I do is kind of an organized email system that's kind of based off that. Right. So if there's something which I'm still waiting on a response to, or I need to wait for a follow-up email or whatever, then that will stay in the inbox so I know it's there and I can look at it or whatever. But once I've finished with it, it's in the bin, it's in the trash.
Yeah, it's hard to subscribe to someone else's email system because everyone is so different. So you can take, you know, Merlin's philosophy of emptying out your inbox and then, you know, customize it to your own uses, which is what I do.
Once I start getting 18 million emails a day, maybe I'll switch to another system, but this one seems to work pretty well right now.
Well, and that could happen tomorrow. You could, because of this podcast, now that we're on iTunes, you could become instantly famous.
Yeah, we are on iTunes now, and I must ask our listeners, please, if you are using iTunes and you subscribe before about February, when was it? February 5th, 6th?
Mm-hmm.
If you subscribe before then using iTunes, please resubscribe using the iTunes store link. The reason for this is that if the link we had before didn't actually help us increase our listenership. Now, if you do it, it'll push us up the iTunes store charts.
Right.
So please do that.
We want tracking.
Exactly. And we also now have a Twitter account.
Mm-hmm.
At Hello Podcast.
Yeah.
And you can also email us at podcast@helloshow.net.
Great. You know what else we're looking for, David? We're looking for sponsors, right?
Right, yeah. I mean, there was a thing on MacBreak Weekly just now, actually, about sponsors, and it was, like, this is kind of the thing, I subscribe to this idea that you shouldn't accept sponsorships unless you really like the product.
Right.
So, like, last week we had Amadeus Pro on. I went to them and asked them for a sponsorship. They didn't come to us because I really like their program.
Right.
But we don't actually have a sponsor for this show. We were going to have our guest on, but and we thought it was courteous to him to not have a sponsor for that show.
Right. We'll refrain from pimping our guests. We'll promise that.
Exactly.
Yeah. I think if there's any American microbreweries out there that would like to sponsor the show, I would love to use your product, and I'd be even gladder if you gave us money. So there you have it. There's an maybe it doesn't have to be technology based, unless you have a high tech beer, and then I'd love to try it.
Yeah. So if you want to sponsor the show, then you know get in touch with us podcast@helloshow.net, or you can also email me at my newfangled email address dpkendall@dpk.org.uk. We can sort something out. If you want to sponsor, we'll try your product, and if we like it, you can sponsor us. That's the deal.
And the millions of our listeners will hear about it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Millions.
But now that we're on iTunes, man, the sky's the limit.
Yeah, I think we just passed our billionth, I think.
We're competing against Apple in their app download rate, so we're right on their heels.
Yeah. Right, anything else you want to talk about?
I don't think so, except just a little plug. I finally got Einstein, which is the Newton emulator, to run on my Mac. And I was surprised at how easy it was. I didn't try it out because I thought it'd be really hard, but it was super easy. So if you want to visit newtonpoetry.com, it should be right up there, and check it out. It's a lot of fun. Not very useful, but fun.
I think long words tend to put people off. Emulator, it's too many syllables.
Yes. Yeah, but it was good. Right. All right, David. Well, it's been a good show. Nice talking with you again.
Nice talking to you.
Yeah, and I'll see you on the interwebs.
Yeah. Oh, one quick. It's Macworld. Macworld is coming up this week.
Right.
Macworld Conference.
And neither of us are there.
Neither of us are there.
All right. So, well, that ends another show of, or another version of the Hello Show.
Right. Let's, hope I can't think of anything else to say. So, I think that is it, actually. So, it's been a short show. Let me just check the timer.
30 minutes.
Yeah, 30 minutes, yeah. So, I'll cut it down, and this is bits we can edit. So, So, Dave, I'll talk to you next week.
Or yes, sir. Whenever, see you then.
Whenever we can get our guest on.
Right.
Do you think we should drop another hint?
No, I don't. No, okay. I think this guest is so special that we're just going to save everything.
Okay. So this has been The Hello Show, episode number 3. And thank you for listening.
Thanks again.
Tune in next time.